Mayors. I'll make it a drop higher because there's a big crowd, but okay. Okay, Rabosei, thank you for coming this evening. Thank my wife for letting me be here this evening. Thank Rabbi Schenker for setting up this year this evening. I actually thought that I was just going to be here for Night Seder to learn with the guys, but Rabbi Schenker mentioned that there's usually a shir. Some guys are probably still learning, but that the person who was supposed to give the shir canceled, so I agreed to give the shir for tonight. Considering a contemporary topic, it seems that you guys all got the email. I did not get the email that said what the title for the shir is. It was an abridged from the original title to the shir. I believe the shir is now titled, Why Do I Have to Wear a Mask? The title originally was, Why Do I Have to Wear a Mask When Nobody Seems to Be Dying Anymore? Which is a very good question. So let me begin with the Shulchan Aruch, which states in Simen Tov Chof Zayin, Sif Ches, V'chein kol michshol sheyesh bo sakonis nefashos. Anything that can cause damage to one's life, mitzvah saseh lahasiro, it is a mitzvah saseh to remove that possible damager, ulhishomer mimenu, and to guard from it, ulhizor bedover yofe, and to be very careful in a serious way, shenemar, as the pasuk says, hishomer lecha ushmor nafshecha. You need to protect yourself, protect your soul. And if you do not remove and instead you leave these michsholos, these trippings that will cause you to succumb to sakona, not only are you bitul mitzvah saseh, but over below sosim domim, you also have been over on a low saseh. So for a person not to take care of himself to make sure that he is not putting himself b'makom sakana, he'd be in violation of a mitzvah saseh and a low saseh as well. The Shulchan Aruch is talking about things along the lines of walking on top of a roof that does not have a ma'aka, does not have a gate around it. The Shulchan Aruch is talking about various things that we eat, or we don't eat rather, because of sakana, as many of you know, we won't eat meat and meat and fish together because of some sort of sakana. People who have onions that were peeled, they won't leave overnight and then eat. People have water that's left revealed overnight, people won't drink. Eggs that were peeled overnight. There are many of these things that a lot of people don't even know about that are in Shulchan Aruch that are considered sakana. And things like putting coins in one's mouth, there are lists and lists of them in the Shulchan Aruch that people, for some reason, don't take very seriously. The Shulchan Aruch concludes Choshen Mishpat. This is a din in Choshen Mishpat, the very last din in Choshen Mishpat, Sif Yud, called Ha'over Al Dvarim Elu. Anybody who violates all of these things, Uchiyotze Behen, things like them. For Omar, he says, Hareini Misakin Atzmi, I'm going to jump off the bridge 250 feet into the water and put myself into danger. What does it have to do with them? Why should anyone care what I do? I'll just jump off a bridge. Why should anybody care about me? I'm not makbid on my own life. So I'll put myself in sakana. I'll be a stunt driver, a stunt pilot. What do I care? Makinos makas mardus. He gets malchus derabbanan. V'hanizer mehem olav tovu birchas tov. Somebody who's careful for this is going to receive a bracha. Question. What? Of course. Okay. I forgot there are freshmen here. I'm not used to... Okay, go ahead. No, I'm serious. I'm not used to... When I teach 11th grade, I'm not used to guys asking if they have to go. But it could be in 9th grade, they have to still keep some degree of order. Okay. Says the Ber Hagola, one of the Mefarshim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, Hashem created the world for us to receive reward for doing mitzvahs. A person who's misaking himself, puts himself into danger, says the Ber Hagola, is moes baratzon boro. It shows that he's doing something, he finds the desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu disgusting. He doesn't want to do Hashem's avoda. He does not want to get the schar for that avoda, concludes the Ber Hedzeh, and there's no greater apikorsus than that. Very strong words for a person not to care about himself. It is debated amongst the Rishonim whether this is an Isser D'Oraisa or an Isser D'Rabbanan. That's not going to be our issue now. It's Osir. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a neshama into our body to direct the body in its avodas Hashem, and it's the body's obligation to protect that nefesh. Says the Mesil Shisharim in Perek Yud Aleph, one who disrespects his body is at least a shota. He's a fool. So it's amazing how some people will be extremely careful when it comes to Isurim, but they're not so careful when it comes to Sakana. When typically, you can't see the result of doing an Isur. You do something wrong, the result is up in the heavens. And doing something that seems to be Sakana, you don't know the Sakana, you don't see the Sakana. And nevertheless, people just ignore matters of Sakana. While the Gemara doesn't pull in Daf Yud, Sakanta Chamirali Sura, that one has to be more careful with Sakana. Then Isurim. So again, it's strange that people will be so careful when it comes to Isurim, and when it comes to matters of Sakana, they don't take it seriously. People don't think about the facts, about bungee jumping, about whitewater rafting, skiing. They don't think about these matters of Sakana at all. Not yet giving the tirutzim for why that's mutter. But you have to recognize from the outset, Rav Moshe Feinstein talks about playing tackle football. And some people would understand playing tackle hockey. It's not so simple to be boxing. There's a technical sakana. Sakant chamir li sura. This is brought down by the Ramah in Yoredeya Simin Kuf Tezayin Sifhei. V'chein yizor mikol hadvarim. Person has to be careful with all these things. V'yesh lochush yosel l'sofek sakana. Person has to be more careful with a sofek about danger. Milosofek iser than a sofek iser. V'shomer nafsho yirachik mehem. Somebody who's careful about his nefesh will stay distant from them. V'osor lismoch al hanes. Person's not allowed to rely on a miracle. Or l'saki nafsho b'choki yotzer b'zer. Or to put himself into danger in any of these things. However, there are circumstances in which a person is allowed to put himself into sakana. The pasuk says in Koheles, "Shomer mitzvah lo yeda dovaro." A person who is careful with doing a mitzvah will not see anything bad from it. It's unclear what the scope of that is. A pasuk in Koheles sounds very poetic. It's also not a pasuk in the Torah. So my Rebbe Zichron Levracha used to always quote the Gemara in Psachim and Daf Ches to try to give a little bit of the geder, of the boundaries of these issues. The Gemara over there talks about the concept of Shluchei Mitzvah Eina Nizukin, which is what comes from the Pasuk in Koheles. Somebody who's involved in a mitzvah, or he's sent by someone else to do a mitzvah, but let's talk about the person himself who's involved in doing a mitzvah, is not going to get damaged. Really. This is what the Gemara says. The Gemara is in Psachim Dav Chesim and Aleph, and talks about a person who's doing Bedikas Chometz. This is what we're going to be learning about this year. And he's doing Bedikas Chometz in an area where there could be the Chometz went. This area, there was a wall, the wall fell. And now they have to check part of the wall to see if there's Chometz there. And the Gemara suggests that the Chiv Bedika will be canceled because of Sakonas Nochrim. There are Goyim near this wall, non-Jews, who will be afraid that you are doing some sort of witchcraft or sorcery on the wall, and that's going to damage them, and they'll shoot you dead. That's the case in the Gemara. Asks the Gemara, Shluchei Mitzvah in Nizukin. But I'm doing B'digas Chometz. If I'm doing a mitzvah, whether B'digas Chometz is D'oraisa or D'rabbanan, I'm doing B'digas Chometz, a mitzvah, I shouldn't be able to get damaged. If he tries to shoot me, the bullets are just going to fly away. Shluchei mitzvah in Nizukin. He answers the Gemara, no. Hecha d'shchiach hezek ha-shaymi. Where the hezek is very common, that's different. Meaning, shluchei mitzvah in Nizukin does not apply when the damage is something that is very easy. It really can happen. Shluchei mitzvah only does apply, said my Rebbe, when there's a chashasha rechoka, a very distant worry about it happening. There's a possibility of danger. It's not such a big possibility. Then we might be able to apply shluchei mitzvah eina nizukin. But if it's something that's very easy, a person could really be damaged so easily, you can't apply this protection of the fact is I'm involved in a mitzvah. Says the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Zav Kuf Yud Beis, what seems to be another exception. The Gemara over there talks about a person who needs to make a parnasa. And his parnasa is by selling olives. Well, he first has to collect them. So collect the olives, he has to climb on top of the olive tree. And he could easily slip and fall. They didn't have those cherry pickers. They had those big trucks that's very safe to go up there. They had to climb. And it was slippery. And it wasn't easy to collect the olives. And yet the Mishnah says a person is permitted to do so because he's got to make a living. Well, let's think about this. It's not so clear if making a living is actually a mitzvah or just something that a person stuck with because Adam HaRishon was cursed that he has to make a living. If you assume that making a living is a mitzvah, if you believe that it is a mitzvah, the mitzvah being, I have to make a living so I can buy food, otherwise I'm going to starve to death. That's the mitzvah. It's really v'chai b'hem, so that you'll be able to stay alive. That's the mitzvah of making a parnasa. If that's the case, so didn't we just say, based on the Gemara in Pesachim, that if it's shchicha hezeka, you can't apply shluch mitzvah in any zukin? If it's an uncommon thing to slip off of the tree, if it's just a chshasha rechoka, maybe the guy's very good at it, so then he might be permitted to climb up the tree and put himself into sakana. But it's not so clear. It could be that that this individual is not necessarily doing a mitzvah. Parnasa is not necessarily a mitzvah. Parnasa might just be a thing a person has to do. And even when it's shechicha hezeka, even when there's a hezek that's really possible, the individual is allowed to do it. So it would seem that when it comes to parnasa, there's a different mechanism that's happening here than shluchei mitzvah. When it comes to a person trying to do a mitzvah, I'm just going to summarize the past idea. If a person's trying to do a mitzvah, so then there's a difference between if the hezek is common or the hezek is foreign. It's probably not going to happen. Shluchei mitzvah, only if it's going to be an uncommon hezek. It's not going to happen so often. You could put yourself into danger. But when it comes to parnasa, you're actually allowed to do something for parnasa, even if shchicha hezek. Which is the reason why I don't think the government, they didn't ask a shaila, but the reason why the government was willing to open up jobs for people earlier than they were willing to open up the shuls. Because a person has to make a parnasa. It's not a crazy thing. A person has to make a parnasa. For that, they're even allowed to do something that's shchicha hezeka, something where the hezeka is common. However, when it comes to a mitzvah, it's only permissible if there's a chshasha rechoka, only if there's something that's even a far-out possibility. It's only a far-out possibility of danger. So then perhaps a person can do a mitzvah. Yeah. It's a good question. Good question. I don't know if it's within the scope of this. That's you're adding another factor. It's a good question. It's a good question. How much? To what degree are you allowed to make a choice if there's more sakana and less sakana? It's a good question. Okay. There's another heter here as well. So again, keep in mind two things. Shluchei mitzvah is something that you're allowed to use if it's just a chashash rechoka, a very distant possibility of a problem. When it comes to parnasa, even if there's a real possibility, right here, a possibility of danger, it's already permitted. There's another heter, and one that many people were talking about over the last few months. The Gemara says in Shabbos Tav Kuf Chav Tesmid Beis that if an individual is doing bloodletting, which some people thought was a good thing in those days, but the Gemara says you can't do bloodletting at certain times of the day and certain days of the week because there's all sorts of bad mazel. We don't understand all these things with bad mazel, but there's certain things that make it dangerous. So you can only do it at certain times, not let it do it at other times. So says the Gemara, is it then okay to do bloodletting even during those times? There's bad mazel. Answers the Gemara, Kivin de Darshu Bei Rabin. Since many people are doing it, Shomer Psoyim Hashem. Since everybody seems to be bloodletting, they don't necessarily care about the specific times of the day or the days of the week. Shomer Psoyim Hashem, the fool, the pesi, is allowed to rely on Hashem to protect him. Why? Kivin de Darshu Bei Rabin. Since everybody's doing it. That's amazing. You know, if somebody asked me about the hashgacha on a store, can you eat there? You can't tell them, go ahead, everyone else is eating there. You got to know if there's a real hashgacha on the store. But nevertheless, there seem to be various activities that seems to be a very widely used heter that you can rely on the fact that everybody's doing it, therefore it's okay. Think about driving a car. There are car accidents every day. People get killed every day. Shomer P'soyim Hashem. People go on the subway every day. People get killed on the subway every day. Not usually by being hit by a subway. There are muggings every day. A person walks in the street in New York. There are people who get killed every day. Does that mean I can never walk around in New York City? There are people who are murdered every day. You can't just stay in your Dalet Amis all day and all night. Since everybody does this, this is a normal activity. Shomer P'soyim Hashem. A person is able to rely on this Shomer P'soyim Hashem, it seems, even if it's not a mitzvah, that was the first category, even if it's not parnasa, even if it's not a health imperative, simply Shomer P'soyim Hashem, the person is allowed to rely on things that people are naturally doing. Question. That shchicha hezeka, it could be it's not going to be doshu barabim, but if it is doshu barabim, if everybody goes, it's not a problem. It's not a problem. I once asked Rav Hershel Schechter about walking here when I used to live here in the neighborhood. So I used to learn here on Friday nights in the yeshiva, and I used to go home, so I'd go home 11 o'clock at night. And I asked him, is that something which is considered doshu barabim, or is it dangerous? You hear sometimes about shootings in Washington Heights. Rav Schechter said, at 11 o'clock at night in Washington Heights, you find women with baby strollers going on the street. It's a crazy thing in Manhattan. Manhattan is the city that never sleeps. He says it's always Doshu Barab, any time of the day or night, Shomer P'sayim Hashem. And all the years that I used to walk back and forth, I never had a problem. One time, I think somebody threw a snowball at me. I don't remember if he hit me or not, so it wasn't such a big deal. So all the, yeah, go ahead. So it doesn't say the kivin d'doshu barab because I have no choice. I kind of said it that way. I can't be locked up in my Dalet Amis all day and all night. But it's not that. It's just if it's normal, if this is what everyone does, then it seems to be mutter. And again, even not for the sake of parnasa, it could be for the sake of entertainment. If everybody goes on roller coasters, then it seems to be mutter. That's what it seems to be. Yes. That's always a good question. Nobody really knows. There are articles and articles written about that. And it seems to be that it just starts by the fact that people are doing it. Probably not Jews. Probably not Jews. And then it reached the point, people are no longer afraid of it. People are no longer afraid of it. And therefore, Shomer P'soyim Hashem. So let's say the person wants to rely on this concept of Shomer P'soyim Hashem in order to do an activity. I'll try to bring it home. He wants to do an activity that he's going to try to rely on Shomer P'soyim Hashem. So the Binyan Tzion, a great gadol from Germany, about 200-300 years ago, Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, the Aruch Liner is more famous sefer that's written on Shas. He writes that a person can only rely on Shomer P'soyim Hashem if there's no imminent danger and it's just a possibility of a future sakana. Meaning, if there's a car going down the street, I can't just say kivin d'doshu barabim, I could just walk in front of it. And if you, again, I remember the first time I ever came to Washington Heights, it was not yet in yeshiva, I had a friend who lived on Bennett Avenue, I came for Shabbos, and he was walking through the streets, he just walked. He just didn't care. Green light, red light, didn't matter, cars coming, and I saw everyone was doing the same thing. No one cares. They just walk around the streets, kivin d'doshu barabim, shomer p'soyim Hashem, just rely on Hashem to save you as you're walking down the streets. That's an imminent danger. That's usher. Says the Binyan Tzion, shomer p'soyim Hashem can be used if there's a possibility of a future sakana 50%. Meaning, if right now there's no imminent danger, there's no gun pointed at your head, and you're going to do something that there's a 50% chance that something might go wrong, that's a problem. But if it's less than 50% chance, not a problem. And people rely on that again to go on roller coasters and go bungee jumping, where they could prove to you statistically that it's less than a 50% chance that people die from bungee jumping or from skiing or from playing tackle football. I'm playing football right now. Is there an imminent danger? No. But it could happen later in the game. Somebody's going to tackle me and he might crush my head. Chas v'shalom. Is that a 50% chance? Much less. So the Binyan Tzion says that that's not something you have to worry about. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein disagreed. Rav Moshe Feinstein in Choshen Mishpat writes that a basically healthy person does not have to go wild about eating only healthy foods. Really? Don't tell my mother. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, since Ruba de Ruba de Inchi lo mazik lo klum, since most people, no damage happens to them at all from eating fatty meats and things like that. That's what he writes about. He says, right now there's no imminent danger. I'm having my hamburger. I'm not going to die right now. Over the years, it could cause a problem. So Rav Moshe said, you don't have to go crazy with that, because only a miuta de miuta, a small, small amount of people have a problem. Now, if a person's doctor tells them, you have a real problem, that's a different story. But for the average healthy person, it's a tiny miuta de miuta of something that can happen in the future, says Rav Moshe, you don't have to worry about it. And furthermore, he says, the Rambam, in his Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, writes about eating healthy food. If you look in the Rambam, he only calls it an Eitzah Tova. It's a good idea. He doesn't say that it's a mutter, asur, a mitzvah, nothing. An Eitzah Tova. So I looked into this point very, very, very strongly. Give me a couple minutes. Because this is a big issue. And this is the issue that really has to do with what we're dealing with today. And this is really the big question. If one does not see sakana right here where they are right now, they don't see a sakana, they don't hear of people dying, they don't hear people being hospitalized. It might be one or two people, but it doesn't make it into the news. But there's a possibility that it might happen in the future. The disease might come back. The disease might kill people next week. Before they even know they were sick, they can give it to somebody who then can die from it. That's a chashash in the future. So the Chazon Ish writes that if we were worried about every chashash of what could happen in the future, then everybody can keep their stores open on Shabbos because they need to make a parnasa, and they might starve if they don't make a parnasa. Whereas the Mishpat Zeil says there's such a thing as a chola sheyesh bo sakana, a chola that is in danger, and a chola she'ein bo sakana. He says, what's a chola that is not in sakana? Every time you cut your finger, that could become sakana. You see, in halacha, we don't care about something that could be in the future. Rav Moshe Feinstein goes so far with this idea, he says, in this tshuva, so it's wild, 1981, he says, I don't see why people can't smoke. Don't worry, there's an answer to all this. I don't see why people can't smoke. He writes to Dr. Rosner in this tshuva, you're seeing all the people dying from smoking because you're in the hospital. I'm here on the street, I don't see anyone dying. Miyuta de miyuta, who dies from smoking? This is what Rav Moshe wrote. Maybe if he knew more statistics, it could be he would have changed his mind. I don't know, I didn't speak to him about it. But the idea is when there's a miyuta de miyuta in the future, doesn't seem there's something to worry about. However, and this is the major point, however, Rav Moshe did not know about secondhand smoke. What's secondhand smoke? If I'm smoking and a guy is standing next to me, he can die, not that minute, but if he's exposed to it a lot, he can die from my smoking. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Abrach, Rav Yosef pointed out concerning smoking, they think that Rav Moshe would have changed his mind if he knew about this. They think. Because Shomer Psayim Hashem only works for myself. I can say that since I don't see a danger right now, there's going to be a danger in the future, I might be allowed to, since everybody else is doing it, rely on Shomer Psayim Hashem. But when it's going to damage somebody else, there's no such heter. That's called being a mazik. And when it comes to being a mazik, you have to worry even about a miuta de miuta in the future. A person always has to worry about, I'm not going to damage somebody else. Even if it's a tiny, tiny chance, a person has to worry, I can't damage somebody else. Therefore, when it comes to the coronavirus, it's a big issue. People look around, and we may know some people who died in March or April, but Baruch Hashem, we haven't heard of somebody who died. Most people have not heard of somebody who died in the last month or two. Baruch Hashem. Coronavirus, yes. People always die. That's the nature of the world. So a person can think to themselves, right now, it seems that in this area we're on pause. It seems that there's no sakana right here, right now. But the doctors, if you ask the expert doctors, my Rebbe always taught me you have to ask the biggest experts you can get a hold of. I've been speaking to three of them regularly, who are heads of departments of these type of diseases. And they keep saying it could so easily come back. And then you hear there's a case, this one tested positive, that one tested positive. And people still say, whoa, one second. He barely has a fever. He's not in the hospital. He's not in a ventilator. It doesn't look like he's going to die. Yeah, he might not die. He was a young guy who was willing to come to yeshiva and shomer psoim Hashem for himself. But now what's going to happen? There could be another kid in his class whose parent is a regular person. And I'll tell you a secret. As a Rav of a shul, there are a lot of regular people in shul. Some of them know they have issues, and some of them don't even know. We heard about people who were 70, 80, 90 years old, they were all in big, big trouble with the coronavirus. We didn't hear so much about people who were 40 or 50 years old, like the age of most of your parents. Some were 40s, 50s. But I could tell you, as a Rav, before Pesach and before Yom Kippur, I get all these shilas about medications. Can I take this medication? Is it a problem of chametz? Is it a problem of eating on Yom Kippur? Nobody else knows things. And I always figure, whatever I hear, that's only about half of what people are willing to tell. Many people are not going to tell even their Rav. They're just going to decide on their own for Yom Kippur and for Pesach. Can you imagine? And then there's the people who have surgeries. A guy who has a surgery because of a kidney stone. Kidney stone's not so uncommon for men, for Jewish men. A person has diabetes. Diabetes is not so uncommon. Type 2 diabetes for people in their 40s and 50s is not so uncommon. These are people who are considered high risk for coronavirus. And one of the worst ones, it's about myself, I'm not talking about anybody else. I could definitely lose 20 pounds. I'll never forget the day that my doctor, Seth Feldheimer, is a nice man, from person, how he said to me, "Rabbi, you're fat." That was about 3 or 4 years ago. Now, had he just, he's heavier than, maybe I shouldn't say, I said his name. He's heavier than me. but he knew if he just said, "Rabbi, you could lose a few pounds," I wouldn't listen. He said, "You're fat." I was insulted. But that was before coronavirus. And people who, unfortunately, were too overweight, it was considered a big risk factor. Even young people. I said this in my shul yesterday. Somebody said, "Well, those people are in danger. Maybe they shouldn't come to shul." I'm not sure if we would have had a minyan. I'm telling you. I only have about 40 families in the shul. I'm not sure if we would have had a minyan. I'm the oldest person in my shul. I'm not even 50 years old. I'm not sure we would have had a minyan. Meaning, there are people in their 40s who have some of these hypertension. That's considered a very serious possible threat for coronavirus. So therefore, Abosai, trying to come to a conclusion, even though there's a concept of, for parnasa, a person can put themselves into a little bit of danger, people are going to go back to work. Even though there's a concept of a mitzvah, when it's at least a chashasha rechoka, it's not a very, very big issue of sakana, a person can say shluchei mitzvah. When it comes to shomer psayim Hashem, which seems to be a very broad heter, that's a broad heter, but only for yourself. It's not a heter for the fact you could damage the other person. And especially without wearing a mask, we know that a person can be sick without symptoms. Pass it on to somebody else. That person can have somebody at home who could have real problems. That could be, chas v'shalom, any of your parents here. And that's why I keep saying it's a matter of caring. Teenagers, I know from studying psychology, teenagers typically think, "I'm going to live forever. My birth certificate does not come with an expiration date. I don't know when I'm going to die." But the elderly do not have a monopoly on death. Chas v'shalom, it could even affect the teenager. Lo aleinu, chas v'shalom. And it probably won't. And therefore, teenagers think, "It's not going to help me. It's not you. It's your parents. You're in contact with your grandparents." Some people have not been in contact. I have not seen my in-laws since March. On Zoom, I've seen them. They're in their house. My father has not left his house. He's over 80 years old. He's not taking a chance. Not taking a chance. We can't. We usually, kids go visit Sukkot. My parents also, similarly, and I'm sure you all have parents, grandparents, great-grandparents perhaps, that you know you have to be very careful. And it's hard. And it's very hard. But we have to recognize we are all responsible for each other. Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh L'Zeh. V'yahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. And I don't even want to say L'Osam L'Odam Reicha. So that's really the imperative. The imperative to wearing the masks, which we know protects us a little bit, but mostly is to protect the spittle and things like that from hitting other people. And you may not even know that you have the infection, and you can give it to somebody else. You may have no symptoms ever. You may have symptoms after 3 or 4 days, but you're able to infect people even before that. You have no idea. You're walking around with a loaded gun, and you have no idea. No idea. When you're smoking, you know what you're doing. You're being foolish. could say you're being stupid. Here, you could be walking around with a loaded gun. You have no idea that you could be killing this one, that one, the other one. But it's such a far-out possibility. Yeah, but when it comes to being mazik, even a chshasha rechoka, even a miyuta demiyuta in the future, is our responsibility. And that's the reason why it seems to me, based on these poskim, mostly talking about the sugya of cigarettes, that's where I looked into it from, it seems from these poskim that we have to be very, very careful whenever we're gathering inside buildings. That's what the doctors tell us, that we have to be socially distant, and if we can't be socially distant, at least we have to be wearing masks over our mouth and nose to protect us as much as possible from this sakana. And Be'ezr Hashem, the time will come, the sakana will completely pass, and Be'ezr Hashem, we won't have to worry about these things anymore. Have a wonderful Tuesday night, everybody.